Matt Schinitti joins us from TSN to talk all things CFL. Matty, how are you?
Not too bad, Jason. I also, although it does sound hollow, even on this side of the country, we're trying to share our condolences with the Woodall family. Because whenever you hear a story like that, and you kind of echo the emotions of Edmonton Mayor Don Iveson, because it gets pretty raw. So, you know, as much as maybe particularly in big cities like Edmonton and Toronto, the police are always under scrutiny. Moments like this, we have to give them our support. So I hope that doesn't sound hollow to your listeners, but, you know, it struck us on the side of the country too. But to get back to it, you know what? You're absolutely right, Jason. If there's another team that can understand the injury issues, let's just call them, that happened in the preseason, no more acutely are they being felt right now than Edmonton and Hamilton. You talk about the woes that the Eskimos have had on both the offensive and defensive line, man and running backs. My goodness, the Ticats have had their share of it too. But no one will shed a tear, particularly in the CFL, when guys go down, because when they go down and they go down hard, teams just have to adapt, because it's only a 2-week preseason, and the bullets start really flying in no time.
Yeah, Matt, you're right about that. Injuries are part of the game, but as Jason said, you take Rotier out of the equation, and White, who is an exhilarating back, as I'm sure you know, that poses some questions, especially when there's a receiving core that's being restocked as well. There's a lot of questions with this offense.
Oh, absolutely, and this is where I think we're really going to go ahead and see how good Chris Jones is as a head coach. We know he's a great defensive mind, but he's going to have to talk to his coaches, you know, Steve McAdoo and Coach Jackson, and really make sure that they're on point there with Mike Riley, because a loss like Simeon Rotier, he's had injury issues the last few years. We know that. But you need a running back in this league. And John White being out with his unfortunate foot injury is a big issue. And maybe thankfully for the Eskimos, when they start the season, they're going to be going up against a team in the Argos that have equally as many question marks in terms of depth and maybe not so much injuries, but a lot of new guys getting into form. But I still think that there are other positives across that Eskimo team. That defense still is, I think, going to be one of the best in the league, although there are issues, injuries there too, particularly Amondo Sewell. I still think that Chris Jones has the depth, particularly in his coaching staff, to maybe weather the storm and bring in some fresh bodies. Ed Hervey, just listening to him talk the last couple of days, although there is disappointment, there is still supreme confidence that he's got guys to, particularly in bringing Chad Simpson and the guys to plug holes.
Well, Simpson, a great runner if he can stay healthy, and unfortunately had the chronic foot issues in Winnipeg, and that's really the reason why he was out of the league, not because of talent, because the fact that, you know, unreliable when it comes to being on the field, and that's obviously a concern. Matt, when I look around the league, you know, people look at Hamilton. Do you see them as the clear favorite in the Eastern Conference?
Yes, no question about it. Even with the injury, even today, the most recent injury to Moses Madu, and you know, we talk about the walking wounded, as I said, in Edmonton, but there's Lyndon Gaydosh, Spencer Watt, Michael Atkinson, Hassan Hazimi, Brian Baalke, CJ Gable, now Moses Madu. Listen, this is nothing new for Ken Austin. He's used something like, and I don't have the exact number, but he's used something close to 160 players in the last 2 years. He's touched the CFL roster record, and then I think came close to breaking it last year. This comes down to, again, coaching. And there's been such a great message throughout that Ticats locker room of the last 2 years about synergy between all three phases of the game, putting no guy above anybody else. And that sounds so cliche, but when you see it in practice with Ken Austin, you really appreciate what he, Orlando Steinauer, and Jeff Reinbold, the defensive and specialties coordinators, respectively, what they've done. You really have to appreciate it, because team's gone to two Grey Cups at times with lineups that really you wouldn't think would fare that well. Now, again, we're talking about this all in the context of the really oftentimes deplorable East Division. But next to Hamilton, I'm looking at those Alouettes. Not so much because they have Jonathan Crompton, but maybe it's because of the guy they have behind him. I think Dan Lefevre, if given a shot with that offense, and yes, they just lost Marty Gilliard to not only his own season-ending injury, but you know, it seems that he's had is having some legal issues as well with some narcotics. They are, I think, a team that's going to be really, really interesting. The Argos watched them last night against the Blue Bombers. Listen, the Argos team could potentially have 8 or 9 new starters on defense this year, a new defensive coordinator. They're going to be looking for new receivers, although they seem to have a good batch of some Americans that have come in, and they're going to be having some ratio issues. And then the Red Blacks, quite honestly, guys, Marcel Desjardins told me before the game against Hamilton that they looked really good, and then he knocked on wood. Well, that didn't really help much because they did not look very good at all against the Ticats. They look like a team that's still trying to find some cohesiveness. Their offense seems to still have the same issues. Again, it's only week one of preseason, but one of the beat writers for the after they lost to the Ticats, one of the beat writers just looked at me and said, that felt a lot like midseason last year. So right now it's the Ticats for me and the Alouettes, not close behind, but I think those are the two top teams in the East.
Matt, when you look out this way and you take into consideration the questions we have with the Eskimos based on the injuries and the rest of the West, does anybody close the gap on the Calgary Stampeders in your mind? Is there any team that's going to come close to doing that?
You know what? At this point, if you were to go to me and say, do you expect the Ticats and Stampeders to meet in Winnipeg? I would say yes. With no disrespect to the other teams, but taking a specific look at the Eskimos, and Jason made a great point. Mike Riley, if he stays healthy, is, I think, right up there with Bo Levi Mitchell. Although Darian Durant is proclaiming he'll throw 6,000 yards under these new rules, I think Bo Levi Mitchell and Mike Riley, when healthy, are the two best quarterbacks out West. Big questions in BC, particularly at the quarterback position. And then Winnipeg, watching them last night, so much talk about Drew Willey and how much more confident he is. You know, I also spoke to members of that personnel staff. Yes, the Blue Bombers are very much like the Red Blacks, although I would say that given that they are not a new franchise, the Blue Bombers are farther ahead in building a solid base of Canadian and American talent. But I still think that they're going to struggle because behind Calgary, I mean, Edmonton is still very, very strong under Chris Jones. But it's just the way that and watching Calgary just dominate from start to finish last year. Yes, there have been some changes, but you just have to really go ahead and tip your hat to Coach Huffnagel and John Murphy and Dave Dickinson and that real brain trust there for keeping that team reloaded and always focused. But still, if Mike Riley can stay healthy in Edmonton and that receiving core can be built up to really go ahead and rival what Calgary has, I think Edmonton has a very good shot of unseating them. But right now, I mean, I can't look past Calgary.
One quick one for you, Matty. What do you think a new commissioner, what's going to be his first big move?
Well, you know what? You it's funny you should mention that, Jason, because I had a long talk with Mr. Orridge last night. He was at Varsity Stadium. And I asked him point blank, I said, Commish, you know, we heard so much about expansion and TV down south and Mark Cohan doing his best really to foster some goodwill with the fans. What's your big priority? And he said, you know, priority isn't the word I want to use. It's objectives. I have a checklist. And he says he's very shortly going to be meeting with CIS coaches to establish what he calls a very, very strong vertical integration system. Now, this is a man, this is a business savvy guy who did a lot with the Dream Team and Reebok in the States in the 90s. But he says what the only thing that the American system has in the Canadian system is a clear interest from the grassroots all the way up to the professional ranks and eyeballs on athletes at every stage. He says we have to do a better job in the CFL of really negotiating a trust and building trust with the CIS. And he is going to meet, he says, with the coaches and athletic directors at the major CIS schools and talk to them about what the CFL can do and how they can build that relationship stronger. Does he think about, is he happy that the Toronto situation has been ironed out? Yes. He just says he considers himself just a real benefit of circumstance. He's just the right guy at the right place at the right time and how that all came together. But he wants to build working and building a relationship from the grassroots level, from the high school level to the CIS to the CFL, because he thinks it benefits the league, not just in talent, in helping Canadians become better football players, but also in fans, following players, following the league, following all the leagues across Canada, because he says, sometimes CFL fans don't understand what the untapped potential is here. We understand that we need to get younger in our fan base. We also want to build stronger relationships at every level of football, because the CFL cares about not just the success of its own brand, but the success of football across Canada. And after he said that, I found that very, very refreshing.
Matt, always great to talk to you, man. We'll do it again throughout the season.
Take care, guys.